I mean, what's going to happen? No more Carol and Adam. Will Dorinda step away also from John? And, like, I can't even understand what's happening this episode, but I think Luann's got it when she says more hugs. Let's talk about all that in the after show for Real Housewives of New York. Starts right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
You grew up riding the subways, running with people, up in Harlem, down on Broadway. You're no tramp, but you're no lady, talking that street talk. You're the heart and soul of New York City.
Okay, I just get in some type of mood when I hear Odyssey, Native New Yorker. That is like one of my favorite songs of all time, all time, all time, all time, all time. And I always love like a disco take. And the fact that that song has New York written in it, and the fact that I've walked when I lived in Harlem, and I would go walk like 50 blocks up to Fort Triumph Park and listen to that song. It was just so special to me. Anyways, Native New Yorker by Odyssey. Listen to that 1,000 times because it definitely got me in a mood. Big show. My name is Ronnie Jr., randomly RJ on social media. But my co-hosts, they are just out there making the money. They are working. And they are not with me tonight. So, of course, I'm sad about that. But we do have our guest co-host, which is sitting right there on the other seat. The safety cleaner. So the safety cleaner, of course, will chime in. And the chat and the comments, of course, are going to be fun to talk to as well. So we'll do that. In the booth today, we've got the one, the only Bree. How are you doing today, Bree?
Hey, guys. I'm doing good today.
All right. Well, I'm going to use you to sort of have these conversations about housewives and really take it to a perspective that, you know, this happens to all of us. Like some of the situations, Bree, that's happening on this show, I know you've sort of been in situations as well, or we all have. So we'll kind of talk the talk together, but I thank everyone for watching the show today, and it's going to be a solo mission, so bear with us. But the first thing that I'd like to talk about is, let's see, first of all, my overall thoughts of the episode, it's getting good, you know? I think when we started doing this after show, we realized that Bethany was so strong, and I think we noticed that when she does all her business ventures, it's great. But I think this humanitarian side of her, it's just good to watch on camera. It brings out a different side of her, I think. And I definitely want to talk about the situation that happened in Miami and then them going to Puerto Rico en route to that. And it was probably the biggest part of the episode, but it ended really sweet and really harmonious. Anyways, let's start with Tinsley and Carol. So, Bree, we've got Tinsley and Carol, and they are sort of meeting to talk about their boo things. Now, Tinsley is over the moon, right? She's like super happy about everything because she had, you know, this big surprise last week and she got to spend time in Chicago and just sort of solidify that her relationship is going on the right way. And if you remember from the episode before, you realize that Tinsley is the type that needs to absolutely make it a, like she needs to have a label. So, you know, she's not just going with the flow. She's like, oh, this is another notch on our relationship. And I thought it was really sweet. A lot of times, I don't know, I feel like the people who, you know, when we watch this show, we give Tinsley sort of a hard time. She doesn't bring all the drama. She's a little too meek for my taste. But I liked her and I've been liking her. And, you know, there was always that mention of like, if you really want to know Tinsley and learn more about her, you are going to, you know, you want to go back to just who she is. And she is a Southerner. I know she had a lot of time in New York, and I often think she is a New Yorker at heart. But, you know, and that specifically goes off that TV show she did, which was CW's, I guess it was called High Society. I thought everyone remembered her from that. But every time I talk about it, I'm not sure everyone remembers it. It was only kind of a like a one season deal. But Tinsley was really good in that. So I know that eventually she's going to get her wheels here on this show. Real quick, we want to do a shout out to the chat. We have Tabitha Roadhouse. Tabitha watches all the shows, so she has all the details on probably more things than we could ever find. Like, she's deep on the internet, so we appreciate that. I want to talk about Tinsley, Carol, as I said, and then Ramona in a second. But hey, you guys, we found out that Adam and this open relationship, which seemed to go so good with Carol, I guess Adam decided to be forthcoming and say that he did go out with another girl and that he sort of enjoyed the situation. And I think, I wonder, was this the first time he did this? Like, it almost looked like she was okay with the situation. Of course, caught off guard. She rationalizes things very well. Carol does. But my question is to everyone, do you guys think this is the very first time that she's done, that Adam has done this? Like, there's a certain point where, you know, you have an open relationship that, I don't know, is it open? Do we know if it's an open relationship? It's like it is, but it isn't, right? And I think the way Carol described it was it is a relationship that they kind of do their own thing, but they're sort of exclusive. So I just don't know if he's done this before. And I don't know. I don't know what's going to transpire. What I think about Carol is she has a big heart and everything, and she's rational. So I think she's the type that would have a good conversation with him and then move forward. I don't think it's going to be... I don't know. I think she could really explain her feelings well. So we'll see what happens with that. Another moment we have with those two and Ramona, they are at the... they're getting their nails done. So Ramona comes in, you know, guns blazing, kind of just to sort of tear down Sonia and just kind of reminiscing on how their conversation was bad. And I don't know, Ramona just... in the past episodes, I think Ramona wasn't really over Sonia, but today I was like, okay, nail in the coffin. She really doesn't like Sonia at this point. And sometimes I do feel like she has this part where she's like, oh, maybe I'll like rekindle or talk some sense into her. It just sounds like Ramona, if she does extend the olive branch with Sonia, it has to be in a way that Ramona feels like she's doing the God Almighty, you know, reach out and care about the friend. Like, I don't think she wants to have a honest conversation with Sonia where the two of them just give their feelings. I think she has to do it in a way where she is, in her mind at least, on the up and up, and Sonia's this meek, broken woman or whatever. So that's really funny because, of course, a lot of people think Ramona is sort of a broken woman at times. So that's kind of the only way that is going to work out. So we'll see how that goes. In that conversation, though, we also had, I guess Carol had no clue. This was Ramona saying, oh, by the way, did you hear that Dorinda went to the trip to Miami and they're going to, you know, proceed to Puerto Rico. And I got to say, you guys, this is what I feel. I think Carol really handled herself well. Like, I just really like people like this. I do. And the way she reacted was, oh, I didn't know. And you know, I lent support. I think I have it in my notes here. I lent support in my own way, which in that case would have been, you know, financially. And of course, while Carol is such a true, honest person, I feel like, yeah, she's hurt a little bit, but at the same time, she's also really okay with the situation. And she just, I don't know, she just seems to rationalize everything. And I don't think she's, I guess the reason I'm saying that is because other people say, yeah, it's cool, it's cool, it's cool. And they really don't believe it. You know what I mean? And then you get a passive aggressive nature. I don't really see that with Carol. I see Carol being like, oh, I'm a little shocked. And then even in her confessional, she goes, but what is it? Like, I feel like there's something there. Like, why did Bethany not reach out to me? Like, I'm okay with it, but like, why? And I don't know what that is. Just Carol's lived, maybe, you know, she's accomplished the marathon. She lost a husband, you know, which none of us could really know how that feels. You know, her whole life sort of went in that direction. Or maybe it's just the tenaciousness of her working at ABC News all those years. Like, she just is very practical with things. And, I don't know. I thought she exhibited a really strong personality, towards that. She didn't get like up in arms. She didn't get pissy when in some cases we get pissy. I don't know. Bree, can I go to you for a question?
What's up?
Okay. So in this particular situation, these are close friends, and then the close friends are kind of separating, and the one friend had a, like a shiny object, let's say, a trip to, well, it was a philanthropic thing, but still, the one friend didn't take the old bestie. How do you feel about friends sort of breaking up in a way when there's no real conclusion as to why it is? Have you ever had somebody in your life step away from you and you like were puzzled and scratching your head, like, what did I do? And if so, how did you handle that? Because that's sort of what's happening with Bethany and Carol in this episode.
I actually definitely have had that. It kind of happened like those years between graduating high school and not being out of college yet, where I feel like people are trying to figure out who they are. And I had a friend who kind of, you know, did, you know, I'm not going to go into detail about, but did certain things where she would not treat me necessarily in the best way. And like I heard like from other people that she was saying certain things where that didn't happen. And I didn't understand what was going on because I thought we were really good friends.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of just took a break from her is what happened. And we're not like, super close anymore. I'll see her from time to time. But what I kind of gathered from it, and I didn't handle it maybe in the best way in the moment, but what I gather from it is usually when people do those things, it's because something about themselves isn't, you know, they're not feeling quite right about something, or they're insecure about something within themselves. So the only thing they can do is if they're like jealous of you or jealous of your life, is step away from you or treat you in a certain way so that they can like make themselves feel a little bit better about themselves.
Do you think that's sort of a passive aggressive thing?
Oh, 100%.
Okay, so why do people do that? And it's funny because one of our chatters right now, I'm referring to the chat room as well, said Carol is a little bit boring. I'm not really going into the rest of the sentence there, but I do know like the headline says like Carol's boring this season. And to me, it's like, I don't know, like, I appreciate you just telling me what it is. And then I'll be fine. Because when I lose a friendship, here's the thing, what I think, and I don't know, maybe I'm only in my own independent opinion on this, but when I lose a friendship, I feel like, well, if they don't want to be around me no more, if I've done something wrong, it's fine. I personally feel like how Carol was, like, please communicate it with me. Like, let me know what it is. I'm not going to be sad about it. I'm not going to be mad about it. I mean, I guess that's easier said than done. I'll be, you know, that's fair. But, you know, as Bree's situation where she had a really close friend in high school and then all of a sudden that friend steps away from you, it is a passive aggressive thing. And you're just like, can I just know why? And what I'm saying is I think any other, let me give the Carol credit where Carol's credit is deserved, is that if Bethany was tight with any of those other women and Bethany did this whole like stepping away thing, and you know what, Bethany might not be in the wrong because she is handling a lot of different things, but if there's an issue at hand, nonetheless she's still stepping away from Carol and not taking her old bestie Carol, she's taking Dorinda to the thing. I think these other women wouldn't have handled that well. Carol seems to be like, okay, just tell me what it is. Anyways, I don't want to spend too much time on that. I just thought that was interesting. And the reason I'm communicating it with you is because I really had like MVP points for Carol this episode. I was really like proud. I mean, there was other ladies who did really well this episode too, but I just have really been taking a liking to her recently. And I also was taking a liking to this Luann and Victoria sit down. By the way, so awesome to see Victoria being like 23, just living her best life. You know, she's like, for some reason, I didn't even see, you know, they're like mother daughter, but yet they were like talking like old pals, like old college pals or something like that. Or, you know, there wasn't this traditional mother thing. And that just might be where Luann is in her life right now. But I thought it was warm. And I think, you know, you need to be able to have your daughter, you know, after you went through this dramatic situation with the divorce, you need a daughter that could like listen, but also tell you what she thinks. And she did that. She definitely said, this is what I told Tom. I thought he was superficial. You know, Tom needs to learn how to give hugs. And ultimately, the reason I bring it up is I don't know what the other viewers thought, but sometimes when people bring up the ex's name, a lot of the people will think, oh, okay, Luann is, you know, she hasn't got over Tom. I mean, I don't think she's gotten over him because it's still a fresh wound, but do you guys think it's overly negative to like continue to bring certain things up? I mean, I didn't take it that way. I took it completely okay. I was like, you know, all she was doing was reliving it. She was sharing stuff with her daughter, what she had been through. And I don't know, I may be in a solo opinion on this, but I think that too many times we are rushing to compartmentalize things and not, and like sort of be okay. And I'm not going to go ahead to the Dorinda thing, but as you see, if you don't allow those things, obviously you don't want to dwell, there's a fine line here, but if you don't allow those things to really be understood of how your truthful, honest feelings are, you're going to end up like Dorinda, where there's some really pivotal things that I guess she hadn't fully worked out. And I don't blame her. I'm not saying that. We'll talk about that part later. But I just say that to say that I like where Luann is going. I'm totally into the storyline. I think she's fun. Actually, when we get back next week, we're going to have tons of other stories too, because our co-host also went to go see Luann this past week. So I'm sure Leanne has got tons of great stories about that. That show must have been amazing. I've seen a bunch of the clips online, and it's just like, that is a great show. So kudos to Luann. And they say, you know, hugs around is kind of going to be the way. Another funny thing that she mentioned, I thought it was a sort of cheesy but funny soundbite. She said, you know, I just wanted to redecorate his house. I think he needed like white pillows, you know, flowers, I don't know, fidelity. So that is what we all know is the perfect way to have a relationship. And if you don't have those things in the home, you know, you're in trouble. But nonetheless, I do like seeing Luann with the children and their new dynamic, and, you know, the way she treats them very respectable. You know, they are her kids, but they're out there living their lives. Like, it's harder to think of them as like that young, you know, when we all watch these shows and all of the women's, you know, children were a little bit younger. So, it would be like if we were watching the show in 10 years from now, and we're like, oh yeah, Bryn's in high school. Like, wouldn't that trip us all out? But that day will come one day. So, anyways, let's move on to something important. Bree, you know a lot about this. I do want to let you guys know that we have been doing a lot of work around AfterBuzz, and our AfterBuzz team is always taking new ideas and suggestions. So definitely write your opinions and comments on the iTunes and the chat and the YouTube channel, all that stuff. But a lot of you are like still new to AfterBuzz, and you're like, oh my God, I didn't realize TV icon, you know, the red carpet queen, Maria Menounos, is behind this project. So we always want to let you know about a project that she's working on too. So Maria Menounos has a podcast, which is called Conversations with Maria Menounos, and that's going to come out every Friday, the podcast edition. And what's good about that is it's absolutely free. Of course, if you're following her on SiriusXM, you already know she has a really great show there. But think about, you know, sometimes not everyone gets to SiriusXM, and you want the content, no less. So make sure you look out for Conversations with Maria Menounos every single Friday. Download that content, and of course, write, you know, in the comments that you heard about it from the after show here with Real Housewives of New York. It's really good. I don't know how great your guys' lives are right now, but like, you know, things happen. I'm actually was on an upswing, and then sort of some things had happened. I've moved two different states in, you know, less than 2 years. So there's a lot going on. So I really find value in going to her podcast, because they're always talking about things within finances, things within, you know, taking the perfect interview for a job, or, you know, what your presentation is saying about you, or just a lot of different things. I know they're dog lovers, so there's also like a lot with pets, and I know a lot of you guys like pets as well. Anyways, Conversations with Maria Menounos, please check it out. iTunes, download it. It is free, and comment. So I gave you all your directions of what you need to do, so go do that immediately. Okay, let's start the first beginning of this, you guys, with let's start with Bethany and Dorinda's preparation, the preparation for the trip, and then we'll break it down, and we'll get to the big part, which was, of course, the dinner later on, and that, of course, went a certain way. But just to start, we've got Bethany and Dorinda at the SLS Hotel. This is in Miami. They're sort of getting everything prepared, and as I said, I mean, gosh, we love a good one-liner of Bethany. We really, really do, and we have just been growing in a way that I love seeing her in this place. I don't know what everyone else feels, but for me, it's she's magic. You know, she's magic with what she's doing. And I think what's funny, I had told you that I watched the podcast, her and Gary V. Gary V had a podcast, Ask Gary V. And it's like two really strong people going back and forth. And one of the things that Bethany said that kind of stays in my mind is like, how she, when she started Skinny Girl, it was almost just like she was really content with just, I don't want to take the words out of her mouth to make it wrong, but it sounded as if she was content with what it was. Like, let me just sort of be almost the face, the brand ambassador for this product that she believed in. And then she pitched it and nothing really happened. And then all of a sudden, she just kept going and kept going and kept going, and realized the only way to make it successful was to do it herself. And she kept, you know, trial and error, so to speak. And so that I think is so reminiscent of what's going on with the organization that she is heading up, because no one would have known how to deal with this. Yes, she had a little bit of, I don't know what you said, like experience in it, because she did put a lot of her time and energies into the hurricane in Houston. So she's aware. But what I love about Bethany, and it's sort of something we should all learn for ourselves, is like, it's weird that you can really, it's not weird, but it's crazy that you can really do anything you want, but you do have to like keep looking and trying. And, you know, I'll even say, like, I'm a pretty ambitious person, maybe a little more when I was younger. As I get older, I'm kind of like a, you know, kind of a, you know, a grumpy Gus, you know how we get when we're old. But it gives me a certain like, wow, Bethany, you really figured out a way. I think some of the notes that she said was she was the first plane that even went to the island. You know what I mean? This was before Trump, you know, like she had really found ways to do it. Another couple impressive things that I thought were what she ended up doing was by the people she works with and her, you know, team and whatnot, you know, the relief was all donated. The planes were donated. So when she went to acquire money for, you know, for donations, she now had the leverage to say, well, we don't need, you know, that for the plane or for the relief, because that has been donated already. We can turn that into gift cards, and these are $300 gift cards. So in other words, she's moving $125,000 worth of gift cards for the relief. So and just to really change the lives of the people. And I think, you know, it is easy for everyone to like forget what is happening, and I think it was pretty loud and was pretty vocal when it happened. And for Bethany to be a reality celebrity and do so much, it just really shows a lot to her character. I do know that at that time I could recall quite a bit. Cause you know, you hear friends of yours, you know, that they have family from Puerto Rico. So you start to hear like, this is a real serious thing. Like just cause it's not in our backyard. But I, for some reason, like I didn't hear it being overly like out there. I just think, you know, Bethany might be onto something, that she might have just been doing it. Oh, hey, we have a really fun, can we open up that page a little bit more, Brie, on the chat? I think we have some fun chats, so we'll talk with them as well. But just finishing that thought, like I said, $125,000, which is amazing, $300 gift cards, and that could really, as Bethany said, go back into the economy. And I think, you know, it was great, because we see Dorinda being completely you know, shocked by it. You know, obviously we all probably think that Carol would have been a much better person to be in this journey, but you know, if it helps Dorinda and it helps the other ladies see what she's actually doing, that's, you know, anytime your efforts are going in a really great way, and then people are able to, what do you call it, like, you know, to spread the word, and, you know, spreading the word within these circles is financial, and it will help, you know, it will help out the donations and such. Oh my gosh, I feel like I might need glasses because I can't really read, but I think our other co-host sent us a note that said, you are doing something. Oh, he's, okay, something about Bethany. He says, Bethany is the best. Okay. Am I drunk? I don't know. I'm not reading properly. Can you put it up one font a little higher? Brie in our engineering booth. There we go. So, Bethany is such a badass. Yes, definitely a badass. And hello to Tabitha. And there's a couple other chatters. That's the moral of the story. Bethany is a badass. Like, I'm saying that for me, I'm all for her talking and being crazy with these ladies and giving them the one-liners and shutting them down because of who she is. But this type of episode is very heart-driven for me. Big shout out to our chat. That's amazing. Let's talk about real quick before we finish, like the big part of Bethany and Dorinda at the dinner, which was of course the right kind of mess. Let's talk about Sonia. You guys, I feel like she gets an MVP as well. I really do. I just gave an MVP to Luann a little bit, and I'll probably give one to Bethany and Dorinda at the end, cause they were shining. But, okay. And I want to do chat, shout outs in a minute, because our chat, and it happens on a lot of the after shows we do. Of course, I do RuPaul's Drag Race and Potomac and a couple other shows. But like the New York after show chatters on the YouTube, you guys write some pivotal things, some things that like we forget or just, you know, bring to our attention. So it was a couple shows ago, somebody had written like, you know, I think the problem with Sonia is that she just absolutely is kind of, you know, like lost in some way. You know, she's in a giant townhouse. She almost doesn't know what her identity was. And then another one of you guys wrote what's also interesting about her is she might be going through this thing where she was always the hot young thing. And I do remember one of the things I loved about Sonya when I first started watching this show was, when she first got on the show, was season 3 or 4. I think it was 3. Sonya's like callback to her old stories, like her and John Jr. I always like a confident, semi-delusional, you know, Sonya. I like that. And I think maybe, because this was called to attention by our chat room, I think maybe what might be happening is that she's processing, maybe if she doesn't even realize, but she might be processing, life isn't the same when you get older. You could be as flirty as you want. You could be a flirty 95-year-old Sonya. That's fine. But I don't know. Maybe she's feeling left out. You know, the attention that she used to get is not there. You know, she has such a great character, great heart. She's warm. And, you know, it might be something she could stand alone on, but I don't know that that's how she stood before. She may have always stood on being funny and cutesy, making these jokes, and, you know, these men enjoyed her, and she played along. Like, but, you know, I don't know. I just think what happens with Sonya is something to do with age. It was something that I didn't really think about, but some of our chat room had said, you know, loneliness in that big townhouse and your age, and, you know, I don't know. It's just something to think about. I was really proud that our chat room wrote that, because that was some cool information. But real fun, you guys. So first of all, I love this broker. I love the broker so much. That Sonya's meeting, and they're realizing that this property could rent for $32,000 a month. Oh, chump change, right? I could afford that tomorrow. Yeah, that's crazy, but that's amazing for those who are interested. I like the broker because any type of infraction that she would tell Sonya, she said it in such a beautiful way. She was like, well, it's decorated nice, but it's decorated nice maybe for you, but that wouldn't work for someone else. You know, the type of person who would like this space, it needs to be a qualified individual. I don't know. I liked their bond. And the thing about Sonya is, as this person on our chat said, is she has too much time on her hands. So even though this gives her anxiety, it's good anxiety, if you ask me. It kind of gives her a direction. It was great to see the home. You see, I guess she's got 3 fireplaces. I don't. It was pretty outstanding. Definitely older, and definitely needed a little bit of work. But they proceed to have a photographer come in. Now this is Travis, and here comes some great flirting with Travis, the photographer. But before we get to that, I thought it was funny that Sonya is willing to pick up poop with her hand. Did I hear that right? Was it with her hand? She picked up poop. She put it on the top of the, I don't know, like a stone or whatnot. And the job was, my housekeeper needs to put that away. I mean, if you're already going that far, why don't you just put it in the trash? Like, isn't that more work to like pick it up, put it on the little stone, and then like send somebody else to do it? And by the way, I don't know, I was doing a little bit of like spring cleaning or whatever you want to call it last weekend. Am I the only one who agrees? There will be other parts of my life that are in shambles, but cleaning to me is like the funnest thing in the world. Outside of dishes, those are a little bit boring. But so anyways, I just thought, what's the problem? Like, you know, this is going to give you a sense of being. Anyways, it was really funny though. So she, I liked the jokes. I really did. I liked the jokes, you know, oh, Travis, you know, and then she starts giving her little winks and her little, you know, hip bump action. You know, she's classic Sonya. She's flirting with this guy. She didn't read the read. She didn't see what was going on, but you know, and she's like, oh, okay, cool, cool. You know, well, you're handsome, Travis. And she's telling the broker, oh, he's really handsome. He's really handsome. And then it's like, oh, well, I'm married. And so she's getting all like, oh, well, damn, you know, he could have been the one, or, you know, just classic flirty Ramona. It's beautiful. And then at this point she was like, oh, okay, well, you could do this. You could have this cup. This is from Ramona. I don't need it. You could take it to your wife. And he's like, oh, you know, honey is not my wife, you know? So that was really cute. And then she had that line that we saw in the trailer that we thought was really, I thought was really funny. Are you sure you're not bi? And he's like, definitely not bi. And then she says, you know, if I buy you something, will you get sexual? I thought it was funny. And I know it was recycled because we saw it already in the trailer, but the context behind it was fantastic. Anyways, we do have to move along and get to the big meat and potatoes of it all, which is Bethany and Dorinda and the dinner. On the shout outs we've got on the chat, Ryan Serhant, I always say that name wrong. Ryan Serhant said she did what? The pricing. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, so Ryan Serhant basically agrees that $32,000 was the price. Well, shoot. Even Sonia thought that. She was so confident in her confessional. She's like, yep, I knew it was $32,000. We've had that checked out. Like I said, Sonia having a reason to do something gives us a much better Sonia. I think if she has more things going on in her life, she's not going to be so cuckoo bird. And since I like her so much and I hate when she gets cuckoo bird yet still like it, this was a happy advancement for her. Thank you for that note. Bravo cameras pick up everything, right? They are filming like when you're in the restroom. It's terrible. That was our host, Leon, who is out there shaking and baking it. I don't know where he is, but I know he's making money because Leon is always working hard. And our other dear co-host as well, Chelsea. She'll be back with us next week as well, all of us. Okay, we got to move here. So let's do Bethany, Dorinda dinner. If you guys want to sound off on the chat, please tell me what you feel about this. Let's talk about the pivotal aspects of it. You know, it was kind of like 0 to 100, I would say, with how drunk she was. We sort of meet other people in the team here, which is Bobby, Eve, and Omar. And so Dorinda was drunk, which is one thing. And then she was out of line, which I guess is sort of saying the same thing. Like, to be drunk and not say the things you say is one thing. But she was saying things that, I mean, granted, because she was drunk, but she was saying things that, like, wow, you don't just step out that strong, you know? And she did. She said some really challenging things. It started off bad, and it only went worse. Like, when we seen the previews to this scene, if it would be a buildup. It didn't feel like a buildup. Did you feel like it was a buildup? It was like, all of a sudden, Dorinda starts, and she doesn't stop. And she Why was she saying so many things? Like, how does this work, you guys? If you go as the friend with somebody else and this is all their people, like, you got to be more chill about it, don't you? You got to be more chill about it. And she certainly wasn't. Started off bad, got worse. It even looked like her makeup, her lipstick was like smearing. Poor Dorinda, because this didn't look good. But some of the quotes that I wrote that were really tough is when it went around and they started talking about the devastation in Haiti. It's like she cut the guy off right away, mid-sentence. You know, this is his life's work kind of a thing. Cuts the guy off and goes, you know, how weird isn't there that there's even earthquakes in Haiti? You know, obviously that's drunk talk because you don't really know what you're actually saying. But she did that. She stepped in a lot of times where she said, oh, Richard did this. This and that. I mean, she just wasn't making sense. But like I said, it's just the tougher part is that she would have been a hassle. Here's what it is. She would have been like she would have been worthy of a reprimand to get reprimanded later if she just came in that drunk. But she didn't even just come in that drunk. She came in that rude. Like, she said stuff, you know, that was really out of line. You know, when this guy's talking about this huge devastation and then she like belittles it with that. That was one. Then he starts to talk about, you know, some of the work he's done. This is, of course, Bethany's one of Bethany's colleagues here. And then she cut him off. Like, I could only pray that she was talking to somebody else or it was edited in a way. I can only pray that she actually didn't say, because, you know, editing is editing. That's not what I'm asking. Like, you're not even supposed to be at the table. You are lucky to be at the table. Gosh darn, we love Dorinda. Oh my God, every single person does. But, like, you're not even supposed to be at the table. So if you cut somebody off while they're doing this great work, that's not what I'm asking. It was rough there. So he goes on to talk about, you know, this messy dinner. He goes on to talk about, well, you know, there's you know, kids are going to college. And she sort of, like, laughs it off. Like, it was funny to her. Or she didn't believe it. She didn't believe it. And then it all sort of erupts. You know, it didn't take much for Dorinda to feel offended. Like, I thought Bethany handled herself in a really good way. I really thought she was like trying to not make a scene. She wasn't trying to like attack her friend, but it didn't took but one or two words and Dorinda was already charged up. Let's see what the chat says. Oh, that is so tiny. I guess I'm gonna have to get better glasses because I can't see that far. Okay, let's go a little. Yeah, it's one thing to be drunk and chiming in, but it doesn't make sense. That's fine. But then, you went up a little bit. Our teleprompter's moving in some type of way. There we go. But it doesn't make sense. Fine, but then be so rude. Yeah, she was ridiculous. Thank you, Leanne. She was like absolutely ridiculous. Like she wasn't even just chatting in. She was overrunning a whole conversation where she didn't belong. You know, you've got to have your certain decorum about yourself when you are invited. You can't just be the boss dog. But for some reason, she wanted to. Thank you, Bree in the engineering booth for providing those great chats. That's fantastic. So it kind of goes crazy. She gets into it with Bethany, and then Bethany has to say, well, you know what? I don't really want you to come. She goes crazy. She leaves. And even then, I thought Bethany handled herself well. She said that she felt maybe it had to do with, her deceased husband and, you know, the type of circles he ran in the political world and also in the charitable world and stuff of that nature. So she said it nicely. Does anyone think she overstepped? Like, I don't think she did. I think Bethany handled it well. Cause at some point she has to say something. You can't just be like, okay, now she's gone. And now the, you know, crazy is gone. It's your friend. It makes you look bad. And one or two things, you could either sort of completely like, you know, bash her, or you sort of start to make sense of it. So the people that are around could understand like, okay, I understand what happened. And maybe that's where she where and how she went, you know, 0 to 100. We're wrapping up the show in just a second here. And then we have the really great moment though, because the next day they basically sort of reconcile in a way. You know, Bethany shoots out a text and says, okay, bottom line, I think she's going to come tomorrow. She's always the type that's going to be on time, and she'll sort of, you know, pass it off like it didn't actually happen. And lo and behold, it did. That's exactly what happened. And Dorinda was like, let's go. It was good, though. I thought the plane ride was fantastic. And she, Bethany, we're going to move quickly here. Bethany had said, I do feel like you sort of at some times have this thing where you're missing the life, you know, missing the life that you once had. And honestly, like, you know, Dorinda, on the first couple occasions when Bethany said, you know, you might be a drunk, she sort of rationalized it. Oh, I didn't eat, or I was up at this time, or I'm going through stress, or all these things. But after Bethany hit that, like, you know, pressing thing that is actually true to her life, you're missing the life that you once had with Richard. And, you know, they sort of both understood that, you know, this might be one of those things where maybe she sing Dennis through Bethany, and it like reminds her of, you know, what Richard was to her, and it hurts. And all of a sudden we get this is why we love Dorinda, because she has done some things and she's so tough and she's so badass also, but she'll get in her feelings and be like, you know, like I'm sad and I'm sorry. And she doesn't do it in a way. Who's the one on this show that's I'm sorry and just like doesn't really actually care or doesn't actually say, is it Sonia that does that a lot? I don't know, probably a lot of them. But I feel like when Dorinda does it, it comes from a place. And you felt like her whole heart poured out, you know. To me, I did. I'm an emotional freak, so I'm always, like, real sad when I see somebody tearing up on TV. I do the same. But, yeah, like she said, like, I want to be a mother. I want to be a wife. I was good at those things. I don't really have anything that I'm doing. Oh, my God, and such pivotal other stuff. She goes, if I die, will anyone ever find me? I'm telling you, it's growing older is not easy. And I think this show, this particular franchise, has such a great way about showing, like, you know, it's not all peaches and cream, but how do you move in that space? So great honesty. I was very touched by the episode. And one of the things that made a lot of sense that Dorinda said is, I am going to consider going to therapy. And I thought that's a good step, because when somebody tells you you're a drunk, or when somebody tells you anything about yourself, there's an inclination to maybe get defensive. So for Dorinda to hear I'm a drunk and go to like AA or whatever, maybe not going to work. But for Dorinda to understand there's some things going on and go to therapy, which may lead to AA, if it is actually, in fact, an alcoholism problem, that's the right way. And the most pivotal thing I thought, and it's a little more sensitive, you know, it's not exactly jumpy. It was kind of a slower, softer episode in that way. I love the way Dorinda said that. She goes, the person in the person who was by his coffin is not the person that's here today. And by the way, the person that was with John 7 months or whatever after, you know, Richard had passed might not be the same person as now. So Dorinda's got some stuff to go through, and we're really, I personally am like really into it. And, you know, I don't need a one layer Dorinda. I need Dorinda, you know, clip, clip, clip. I need Dorinda yelling at Sonya, but I also need Dorinda like rechecking herself to see what's happening. So who knows? Maybe next season she can, you know, be a wife. Maybe not with John. Something's going to happen. Real quick, we're ending the show. Thank you to the chat room that was in there. A big shout out to our brother, Leon, who's out there having the bestest time. Happy birthday to you, buddy. We have Helvita, who enjoyed Chelsea's opinion on Dorinda last week. We have Person123. These are the shout outs for the chat. We have Charlie in Charge, who watches several of our programs and said that he actually liked Scott over Adam. Of course, we were talking about Scott and Adam last week. Who would you rather? Charlie in Charge says Scott all day, and he gives a bunch of reasons why. Cohesive Beauty said that Bethany is out for blood this season and thought that it was hypocritical last week's episode to agree with Sonya about Ramona simply because Ramona is disliked by Bethany. And if it was any of the other women, that Bethany would have tried to talk some sense into Sonya. So she felt like Bethany sort of attacked just because, you know, the hatred of Ramona. And then this person, Cohesive Beauty, also says that Tinsley was very childlike. Cindy Williams, who comments on a lot of our shows, said that good for Luann and the weed outside the public hotel. We talked about that in the news in a couple weeks ago. Cindy Williams also watches Southern Charm NOLA, which is amazing. Tanya Lynn suggested that we look up High Society to understand more about Tinsley's relationship with their mother, which I mentioned here today. I usually call it the CW show. I forgot the name of it. High Society. I watched the whole season. It was good. Good is a loose term. It was okay. Frida 14, we got E.P., agrees with some of the comments that we made earlier in the season, saying that it's more relatable watching Bethany in her element, such as skinny girl jeans and hurricane relief. Oh, great. So E.P. understands, like, yeah, we like Bethany going up against a Jill Ben Simone, but we also like to see Bethany with, you know, heart, is what I feel. E.P. also says that Tinsley is bringing more this season, even more than Luann so far. Oh, E.P., that's a challenging one. You're going up against Luann. You're saying Tinsley's bringing it more than Luann? That's okay. You said so far. We'll see. Vibrant 999 says Tinsley is giving me Sheena vibes from Vanderpump Rules and thinks Tinsley is on that level of depression. Okay, that is so funny to me because I love a Vanderpump Rules and I love a Sheena. Sheena is ridiculous in the best kind of way. Sheena goes up there in my all-stars of reality characters. I don't know that I'd put Tinsley where a Sheena is because they're kind of different, but I appreciate the comment there. That's from Vibrant 999. We have Yike Zhang. We also have Lydia Solomon. Sonya is kooky, nutty, and she's the one actually who commented on living in that home all alone. We talked about that a second. You guys have the weirdest chat names. It's hard to read. Jay Satire. Sonya deserves everything and anything she gets this season. Oh, so you're like No Mercy. Got it. Veronica 2 says, Veronica 2 says Ronnie could be too cocky. So Veronica 2 doesn't like me. I'm so sorry. That's challenging. sorry about it so much. Michael Ricciardi said, loved Ramona's quote from a few weeks back. Say it, forget it, write it, regret it. Okay, we all sort of enjoyed that. Loopy Lulu is a shout out. We also got Ashley Dean. Ashley Dean says, loves the upbeat energy of Sir Leon. Oh, Leon's not here today. He's celebrating his birthday, but we'll see him next week. Celestial View was siding with Dorinda over Sonya and also said, what's up with Sonya's makeup during her confessionals? We typically don't want to shame anyone's makeup, but we'll give it a look next episode. I think she's always pretty, but maybe not. K-Dior says, loves Leon and the housewives, as the housewives aficionado, getting a lot of love for Sir Hollywood over there. What FC, we get a shout out What FC, and we're also shouting out Tabitha Roadhouse, who was chatting with us today, and also Spencer Whitelow, who views all of our shows, several of our Housewives after shows, and is pretty active with his comments and perspectives, and also Laura McKay. Sorry, that was a lot of shout-outs. We just did it like that today because I was solo. So doing the shout-outs was very helpful. So the communication was great. Bree, that's the end of the show. No time for predictions. So we'll just end it right here. My name is Randomly RJ. Next week, tune back in and you'll see our full panel. I think we got four people next week, actually, so it'll be really fun. Thanks for going solo with me today. Well, no, you see, I had the safety cleaner next to me, so we did it. And Bree, thank you for rocking out. I'm done talking. I'm actually kind of tired. Good night. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, you New York fools, later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.